Well, we reach out, touch the Lord. Why don't you reach out, touch someone else? Love them in Jesus. Then you can be seated.
Be fine. Exodus 35. I've spoken from this scripture in the past, and it will not be strange to you, but it is an important part of the Word of God. Moses has been on the mountain, and on the mountain, God gave him some direction as far as the provision for his people. And this is the first place in the scripture that I can remember that God ever ordained there to be a special building or material things that would be involved in his worship. Up until then, individual men built individual altars out of stones and so on, and they worshiped there. But here in the wilderness, on the wilderness trip, God said, I want you to build me a tabernacle. And I'm going to come and dwell among you. And so this was the first time the people had anything other than their own individual homes, which was involved in the worship of God and the service of God, such as we have a church. Verse 4. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it. An offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and so on. And he goes on down and lists the various things that are needed for the construction of this tabernacle. And of course, with us, it's money. Because then we take the money and we trade it in for electricity and water and so on and so forth. But I want you to notice a couple of things here. Notice where the money comes from. It comes from the people. He said, take ye from among you. Now, there have been times in the past where I have noted that church members have said, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if some rich guy came into our church and gave us $1 million offering? No, it wouldn't be. Because it would kill the church. The lifeblood of a church is in its stewardship. And that is not the answer to financial demands in a congregation. It comes from among the people. Now, if it comes from among the people, then that says to me that everything that is needed for us to do the work that God has called us to do, that we already have it. Now, we may not have it in liquid form, but we have it. We have sufficient to do whatever it is we decide that we're going to take on of what God's called us to do. And the only thing that is necessary is included in verse 5. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it. So it's the attitude of the heart. It's not that the pastor said that we need to all increase our giving. That's not where it comes from, the motivation of the heart. I love the Lord, and I'm looking for ways to give more. When it comes from that motivation. And notice the third thing out of verse 5 is, it's an offering not unto the Water of Life ministry, but it's unto the Lord. We give it, we write on our check, Water of Life, but we're giving it to the Lord. Now turn over to a little further on, and look in verse 20, same chapter. And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. In other words, nobody forced them. It wasn't a sense of obligation or command. It was something that people sensed in their own hearts and in their own spirits, and they became willing, and so they brought. Verse 22 says they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted. Verse 24 says they brought the Lord's offering. Verse 29 says the children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of the work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. And then the Lord stirred up a couple of fellows to coordinate the work. And that's in verse
30 through the end of the chapter. But I want you to jump over to chapter 36 and look at verse 4. And all the wise men that wrought all of the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made. In other words, you've got a facility under construction. It's a transportable, movable facility. But it's under construction. And the men who were doing the construction, they came to Moses. And they spake unto Moses, verse 5, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from giving. This is very unusual, isn't it? Moses said, stop. The workmen came to him and said, you've got to stop the people. They're bringing too much stuff, and we can't handle it all. So Moses spoke to them and said, I want you to stop it. So they were restrained. Why? Because verse 7, for the stuff that they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. Now, I believe we're doing what God has called us to do, and if we're walking in the calling wherewith we're called, I believe we'll have more than sufficient. And if we don't have enough, then that means we need to make adjustments in what we're doing. Now, that's where I stand on the issue. Our ministry has always, except for the first year that we had a ministry, it has always been connected with this piece of God's earth. It's always been connected with these stones in this building. And I think for many of us who have, and this property does not have my heart. Jesus has my heart. But yet there is something special about this property as well. You don't minister in one place and see all the things that God did here. You don't do that for 27 years and not have it have a special place in your heart. So it's not that I don't care one way or the other. I do care. But yet I'm not foolish enough. I don't want to throw away God's money. I don't want to throw away his money on a property that we're not using. And if someone else can use it, particularly some other part of the body of Christ, I would rejoice to have that happen. And then we'll go somewhere else. You know, and have our meetings in a smaller place. In fact, we may come to your house. Have our meetings in your house. I mean, that's what the New Testament church did. So I believe that we have more than enough to do what God's calling us to do. And I think For me personally, as your pastor, it's important that I don't hold on to the property, hold on to something that God's wanting us to let go of. You remember how Abraham was called to take Isaac to the mountaintop and sacrifice him? You remember how Moses' mother let him go and then got him back? And we may very well be called to do the same. So that's where I am, and I just ask you to look at your own situation. You decide what it is that you ought to do. And we'll all do the same. And the results will be obvious. And then we will make our decisions as leadership. And we'll move. Some of these negotiations obviously will be private and will not be public. And so we may be doing some things that you will not be aware of. And there will be things that I can't really discuss with you as we're going along. But you will know that this is probably what's happening. And when we get to the point where we have an agreement with someone that we think is appropriate and we think would be pleasing to the Lord and also to you, then we will bring it to you in a congregational meeting such as this.